Welcome to Ever Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning. We are welcoming you here in Scotland to Ever Beyond, and we'd like to wish everybody a very happy winter solstice, stroke holidays, stroke Crimble, stroke Christmas, stroke, you know, well, Hanukkah we've done with, and probably Ramadan was months ago, and it's not really a festival. well, anyway, it's, you know, I hope everybody's having a good party season. Didn't get too badly off at the office party. That's been, and hopefully you got videotapes for us. We've been having marathons over the last weekend in on Wolf Spirit Radio, and everybody's completely exhausted. I had a marathon with my band last night, so I'm exhausted from slapping equipment around and doing all that sort of stuff. So it's we're going to have a really nice conversation today. I came across this gentleman that I'm going to be speaking to on Friday as I produced a show for Tony Pasek, and as I heard him, I gotta have this guy on. He's amazing. So we sort of wrought in the crucible of wisdom a few collective nuggets on Friday, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice, you know, yeah, what are you doing Sunday? Okay, there we go. So I would very much like to welcome to Ever Beyond and Wolf Spirit Radio to Stephen Murrow, or Murrow? How do you pronounce your name?
It depends on what part of the world you are. My family would say Murrow, but Murrow is correct as well. It's the word exists in French, Spanish, Portuguese, and Italian.
And it means and wall.
It means a big wall, Usually, like a wall of a fortress or something, or a castle. Usually it means a big wall. Like a mural, of course, is a painting on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It is. Excellent. Honored to be on your show, JP.
It's lovely. So so now everybody can understand why I wanted him on the show. We deal with sound. We do a lot of stuff with sound and frequency, and we have a regular guest, Shari Edwards, who will be on next week or the week after, something like that. I think it'll be on the 6th. So yeah, it's probably next week. She uses specific frequencies to heal. She has a natural ability to do it. You know, she hears the sound that comes out of people's ears, apparently, and then reflects it back to them, and suddenly all their ills are gone. This is the essence is that sound and frequency can alter physical matter itself. So, first of all, Stephen, let's talk about that point of awakening, because something very, very profound in you changed. So, you know, what were you like before? What happened?
Well, strange like you. You know, we've been strange for this whole life, at least. Well, my background for now 46 plus years is been as a healer, counselor, therapist, spiritual psychology, we call it. And in the last 15 years or so, it's it took a quantum, 20 years or so, it took a quantum shift to what I call myself medical intuitive, because I can actually scan inside people's bodies and help them. I can see their blockages and help them clear them. In 1991, as the story goes, I was living in Los Angeles, and a dear friend of mine, who I had been out of touch with for a couple of years, we got in touch, she informed me that she'd been very ill for a couple of years, and that she'd been to doctors and chiropractors and, you know, natural healing, and nothing could change it. She actually felt like her body was on fire, constantly on fire, and it was very painful, as you can imagine. And so she, I was beginning to awaken already to a deeper level of healing, and I was being assisted by my ET friends, Bashar and the Federation. And she invited me. She says, why don't you come to my cabin here in Topanga Canyon, and we'll see what we can do. I'd love to have you come. So I arrive, and she makes dinner for us, and we're sitting in her living room with windows all around. Excuse me, take a sip of water. I was felt this presence guiding me to help her heal, I was guided to have her lay down, and I just gently placed my hands on her torso and her head, I felt, and I said, this is just going to be, the energy is going to come through me. That's all I know. I don't know any more than that. It was new to me. All of a sudden, this energy was coming through from above and came right through me, and in a matter of about, I don't know, I don't even remember the time, 15, 30 minutes, all of a sudden she went, whoa, and all the fire was gone, and she was healed forevermore on that condition. And I said, I said, there's a ship overhead. And she says, I can feel it, but I've never seen one. And I'd already seen ships going back to 1966. I had a ship follow me across the Arizona and Nevada desert for 4.5 hours. The ship actually followed and tracked our car. And that was my wake-up call, my first wake-up call to my ET contacts. She sat there in sweating and releasing the pain and pressure. And she said, boy, it'd really be nice if I could see a ship, like you've seen a lot of ships and so forth. And as soon as she asked that, the valley there, the Topanga Canyon Valley, lit up, no kidding, JP, brighter than daylight for about 2 seconds. And we both went, whoa! The shock and the brightness was tremendous. And it was a ship, of course. It was Bashar and company, and to let us know that they really were there working through me, you know? Well, she said, it's late. Why don't you spend the night? She said, I've got a nice big couch here. You're welcome to sleep on the couch. I said, great. And so she said, tomorrow morning we'll make breakfast before you go back. And I had a crystal skull, and she had some crystals, and the famous Topanga Creek was just about 150 feet away, and we went and washed our crystals and did a little ceremony, and it was fun. When we got back to the house, she said, I want to make some popcorn for us before you go. I said, great. She was very happy and feeling relieved and so forth. And I sat on the couch. Just then, at that moment, within a couple of minutes of sitting down the couch, it felt like a huge hand grabbed me from behind in the head and the neck. And then it pulled me to my feet. The next moment, you know how they show Archangel Michael with a sword all the time, often, right? Well, it's not a sword. Yeah, it's not a sword. It's a laser beam of love. And it pierced behind through the, you know, the, my back behind the heart, and it came out the front, and I was actually like dangling there, like if I'd been skewered like a chicken, you know. And it walked me forward, and I think part of the time my body was not touching the ground, and it delivered because it had control of my throat and my head. It delivered this message to my friend then, who was in the kitchen, and she's listening and making the popcorn. And I don't remember to this day what the message was, because it was not for me, it was her. It was Archangel Michael. Well, I broke out into a sweat with all this energy coming through my body, and I just kind of stumbled back and collapsed back on the couch. And I started to cry, I didn't know why, like a baby, just sobbing and sobbing, couldn't stop it. And after the sobbing subsided a bit, I hear this huge sound in my head, and it says, "You are Michael." And I didn't understand what the heck that was at that moment. I had only been recently before then introduced to the subject of angels and archangels. They were just, you know, fairy tales to me at that time. From that moment forward, my voice changed. And what I've learned since then is that laser beam piercing through me, it opened up my heart chakra in my heart, and I've never been able to close it again. And it's continued to open and open and open till it feels like it's almost 100% open out of my heart. And again, the voice has gotten deeper and fuller as Michael has filled my body more and more. That's the basic story that happened. And he's continued to come, and I've had perfect strangers, JP, call me Michael, and I've had people who are also Michael connected. They know my name's Stephen, and all of a sudden they'll call me Michael, and they say, "Oh, I'm," and they'll start apologizing. I say, "Don't apologize. It's one with me now, and you're just psychically, telepathically tuning into Michael's energy. It's often bigger than the room, you know." For sure. That's basically the story.
So let's talk about wow. I mean, that's there's so many things I could cover here. You described Bashar and some other beings.
Right.
Some other beings. This is very kind of he's very thespian, isn't he? Bashar,
yes,
he's like one of these big old ham actors. Like who's that fellow?
Yeah, I think that's partly due to the channel's background and interested in the arts. Daryl, the channel.
Is Daryl connected with Paul Anker?
Yes, they're cousins.
They're cousins, right? Because I knew the name Paul Anker, and I thought, oh, yeah. Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a big star back in the 50s, 60s. He was a rock star. I mean, a pop star.
Yeah.
And then evolved into. He wrote a couple of songs that Frank Sinatra made famous, called "My Way," and a couple of others. Paul wrote those. Yeah, they're actually cousins.
Ah, right. So. Okay, so Bashar, now as far as I know, when we're talking about beings like Bashar and the way they may appear on physicality, when you talk about, well, or when you look at the TV show Stargate, they portrayed these beings, the Asgard, and they look like greys, because they weren't actually the beings in the body, but they were the soul that lives inside the body.
Is
that what we would be talking about Bashar as well? Is he like a life form that occupies a program body?
He actually has physicality. He says their entire civilization on a planet called Esasani, which means place of living light, their entire civilization are hybrids, half human and half gray, and they exist 300 plus years in the future. And their planet is not in our dimension, he said. It's in the fourth frequency, and he says it's in the direction of the Orion constellation, that area. They're hybrids. There, he says, I can describe how he's often described them, and he appeared to me twice in my room. Once in Arkansas when I was shopping for crystals, and 2 weeks later in my home in Encino, California. And he appeared to let me know that he was for real. And I also saw him, he appeared in his spacecraft in broad daylight in the same month. That was a little bit later. In his triangular, equilateral triangular scout ship that he travels in. But they average about 5 feet tall. The grays are usually about 3.5 feet tall. The pure grays, you know. He says they're around 5 feet tall, both the men and women. Their skin is white, whitish gray, not gray like the grays, because they are truly a mix, a hybrid of human and the grays. And he says the men are bald, all bald naturally. The women have hair for some reason, usually white, but sometimes other colors. And that's how he's described. He says if you saw him on the street, he says their eyes are not as big as the grays, but they are larger than human eyes. And he says they tend to be a bit on the slender side. But he said if they were dressed in human clothes, except that the skin is a little bit funny colored, he says you couldn't really tell them from humans. He says they look, the closest he says that they look like would be the Mongolian race.
I see. So they kind of look a bit Japanese, which would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of Mongolian, that kind of, mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of look.
Hmm. So there's Bashar, an old mate of yours, obviously, from other lives, and so,
I was the original host and manager of the Bashar session from 85 until 1990.
Ah, right. Because, yeah, you know, I only heard about Bashar.
He traveled all around the United States and Canada and Japan.
I heard that it was when I first started hanging around on internet radio, I saw these, I heard this quote, and I would hear this voice, and you are a nation of imaginers. I am of magis. I am magi nation. And everybody goes, yes.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
kind of
wow. Man, it's like a kind of gospel meeting, and
it is, and it was almost like a revival in some of the sessions. You know, as we used to average from 100 to 300 people every week for the sessions.
So he's been doing this for quite a while, then. And
he started in 1983 was when he started breaking into channeling.
Mm-hmm.
I met him in December of 84. That was my first Bashar session.
And so this is 84, and you're awake. You're already in the circuit at that time,
right.
Eh? as a healer and stuff like that. And this is something that you came across that was like that was the next step up, wasn't it?
I was absolutely guided. Because he announced to me February, March of 85 session, his boss, who he called a commander, came through. Bashar stepped aside and delivered a message to me. He says, "We want you to know that we know you as Stephen on the ships," and he says, "You are staff of the Federation." And I said, "What? I'm staff of the Federation?" And he says, "Yes, we know you as Stephen." I said, "My name is, everybody's called me Stephen until now. Why do you call me Stephen?" He says, "Well, do the numerology. You'll understand why we add the end. It represents your future self."
So you were born Steve?
Yes, exactly.
But they called you Stephen. And this is often the way. We have, in fact, the host of the next show along, and who I produce, his name is Frank Jordan. And okay. he channels his higher selves. One of them is called Francis, you know, so his being is Frank, and his higher being is Francis, and then his higher still being is called Stephen.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
So, it might be interesting. I mean, if you got space, I wonder if he might be interested in sort of...
I'd love to. It'd be interesting to see what that's about. Bashar actually took me in 1987 up to meet my next lifetime. That was, JP, that was a wilder than wild experience. The reason being, you know, it took me to the parallel universe, so it can exist at the same time I am, right? But when he took me up there, actually physically, you know, I mean, he grabbed my soul and took me up there, I actually felt like I was dying, because this me has to pass on basically before the next me happens, right? You know, in as my soul travels. And so I actually felt myself going at warp speed right into his chest, stomach of that me, who works as a commander on one of the motherships. So that's a wild experience. If you ever get a chance to meet your next lifetime, brace yourself.
Well, I mean, it's you know, part of why I'm doing this show. I'm looking for the teachers, and I was looking for the teachers, and ended up finding I had to fill in a certain amount of information in order for everybody to understand what maybe the teachers, when they come, might be able to be saying. So, like priming people. So here's the thing. So this is I think what I'm here for is just to kind of try and extract some of the wisdom and bring together a larger picture, certainly than the one that I started out with, to bring everybody into seeing that everybody's part of the puzzle, that everybody's got a piece, and it's all necessary, you know, even the people that annoy you, sadly. But you know, that's the way it goes. I'm really working on all that stuff.
Nice word. Yes. Well, I had a recent, as we mentioned in the show recently that I did with you and Tony. I had a relationship issue that it knocked me for a huge loop. And of awakening of the deeper subconscious painful stuff, and it's if any of the audience is listening, and this is the year that of the big changes, and it's going to intensify next year. They've told me that this is the time of ethics and integrity, and if we're not straight with God on these issues, it's going to show up huge and could be very painful, physically, mentally, emotionally, heart, you know, mind. I felt like my heart had been yanked out of my chest just a couple of weeks ago, and it was a great wake-up call. So we need to be grateful to those people who are playing that role in our lives, even though at first you want to kill them.
Well, you know, we're all on the path, right? And nobody's perfect, and everybody's got stuff. And like everybody has got stuff, and so,
yes.
And we have to keep on learning, and you know, you get to university levels, and the exams become that much more complicated. And
I thought I was doing my third doctorate until 2 weeks ago, and then I said, I hope I graduate kindergarten soon.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, there are relationships that show you great things, and there are relationships that show you how awful you can be.
I couldn't hear you, Tony. Pardon me,
JP. Well, did you miss?
You blanked out.
Oh, sorry. Let me just check my... No, I was going to say is that there are relationships that show you how great you can be, and there's relationships show you how awful you can get. I think this year has been a lot for me of the latter, really. That's humbling to experience that, and one can be grateful for those who with more patience.
Well, it, you know, the deep, deep subconscious stuff must come to the surface. Bashar made it very clear that no one can graduate to the fourth density or dimension with any subconscious at all. Not possible. Because the subconscious lowers your frequency, and it's all about frequencies and acting unconditionally loving. You got to be along with that is unconditional loving, you know.
So, to expose the subconscious to the light. And yes. That's often very painful, because the reason that it's in the subconscious is because it was so traumatic you couldn't have it in the conscious. And
exactly.
That's part
you believed
of,
it would kill you.
Yes, because that was the trauma. That was the way we are originally divided and ruled. What they might
exactly.
call the original sin, huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The original right. sin is when you break down because you've been tortured and traumatized so much. Right. Yeah. Great. Thanks. so we're moving away from those. It's funny how language. You know, you might say, "Oh, original sin," and then the whole Christian theological mindset kind of encloses your head. I feel like, I'm sorry. It's by using certain languages, you can broaden or narrow the conversation. It's a very interesting self-reflection to see that.
Yes, it is. Purely and simply, anything that you didn't want to own up to in the past, you know, and it all seems to be related. Bashar made it very clear that God never created a victim; that was all our own doing. And so, every time we chose to be victimized, well, you know, we wanted to bury it, and we pushed it into we created this artificial situation called the subconscious. Well, it's still all there. We're just not looking in that direction, you know.
But it still is looking out from behind our eyes.
Yes, it's still there, and it shows in the form of aging, of pain, of disease, of being mean and stupid, and all the things that we judge in the human experience.
Ah, mean and stupid, yes. Well, oh, yes, well, life is good, isn't it? So
it's the best.
So so you had these connections with Bashar, and so
yeah, uh-huh.
now we know who Bashar is, and so he's part of a pan-dimensional galactic intelligence group that figured out how the tyranny started here.
Yes.
And that this is a key moment in which the tide has to turn in order for everything to turn out right. Now, do we have people from the future in the universe where it turned out right? Do we have those people coming back in time?
Absolutely. He said that Earth is one of the toughest schools around in the galaxy. He says they actually have a name for us here, and they see everything as school, you know, and we chose it. The thing about Earth, they call it Masters of Limitation. That's what we're actually learning and experiencing here. And the thing we didn't understand, and that was all created by forgetting and forgetting and forgetting and forgetting and forgetting that we forgot. And once we forgot that we actually really forgot that we forgot, then it just went spiraling downward, tighter and tighter.
It gets worse.
Spirals.
Yeah.
Welcome to Planet Earth, 101. And so that's, they're here. And he said, actually, they actually see us with great reverence and respect. Get this. He says, we're already, he says, whole planetary civilizations that are on the edge of ecological wipeout and disasters and war and mayhem. He says, we're literally going to be, in the future, their ETs, UFOs, and they're going to be channeling some of us. as guides and teachers.
I like
so
that.
So nothing is wasted in the universe. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh my God. Ever beyond my end up in the Andromedan galaxy. It's like, oh, I'm big in Andromeda, you know.
Yes. They probably already have actually probably already have somebody who's going to be, he says we will visit those people when they're in at the beginning of their renaissance, and they'll be literally like they were for us, UFOs and spirit guides and all these wonderful things, you know, as awakenings and teachings.
Oh,
they'll
wow.
have, you know, the Teslas and the Einsteins and the Jesuses and the Buddhas, and, you know, will be those things.
So eventually we'll come to a point when people will say, oh, I don't believe in those humans.
Exactly.
That would be like, there's a turning of the circle, huh?
Right, yeah. And he says we had to go through all these experiences. We had to know, you know, what getting to the very edge of ecological complete wipeout. And he says all those things, we had to go through them in order to do the work that we'll be doing in the future.
But hopefully we won't abduct them and torture them.
Well, those are not, there are ETs who are not the good guys. Okay? We have to separate between the positive and the negative ETs, because they are both.
And presumably there are ETs who are neither negative nor positive, who are just kind of
yes, actually,
hanging out.
Actually, he said there are literally hundreds of thousands of ships around in our solar system on observation missions, because he says we're where the action is, and they are strictly observers, and they're here on observation missions, and they're just fascinated with our process, because apparently there hasn't been anything quite like this before in our galaxy, at least. Masters of limitation of that much insanity and focus. He describes this as very focused dream here, because they call everything a dream.
Life is but a dream, Shaboom.
Yes.
So, whoever Shaboom was.
Probably your neighbor.
Yeah, that's right. From Alpha Centauri, you know.
I see, I'm old enough that I know that song. When I was at school.
Oh, wow. At school. This is a little bit before me. So, there is a hopeful future. This is the key.
The key, well, apparently not everybody's going to wake up, and they'll just, you know, they'll go back into another parallel Earth or situation. He said that the last opportunity we had to graduate the Earth School was 26,000 years ago during the Atlantean situation. And he said that it was so negative, get this, JP,
mm-hmm.
that it was so dark and negative at that time that not one soul graduated from Earth. Not one. So this is the next opportunity, this lifetime. So he says, and they're doing everything they learned from their mistakes in the past. He said in Atlantean time, the positive ETs gave us great technology and very high wisdom. He says because as a civilization we weren't awake enough, the darkness was so profound. He says we threw the wisdom in the trash and we turned the technology into weapons, scalar wave and all kinds of stuff like that, using it as weapons instead of positive tools. So he said the next opportunity will not happen for 50 to 75,000 years. So you don't want to miss the boat.
you know, many years ago, I had a dream that there was this kind of platform rising up just off the ground very, very slowly, and that I just about caught the platform, you know, just about grabbed the railings as this platform left the ground.
Right.
That was about 20 years ago, so, I've improved since then.
You know, my wake-up call, my first one was obviously when the ship followed my car. I was coming out to go to school in 1966, and the ship followed our car for about 4.5 hours. And then I started having huge shifts the next day, and energy shifts, consciousness shifts. And then the same ship 19 years later, in Oak Creek Canyon, just north of Sedona, came by and buzzed me again. So, but I've had quite a few other close encounters over the years. And because the job that I have as being a staff member of the Federation, they've been waking me up, you know, at greater and greater profound steps since 1966.
Okay. Let's clarify some more stuff, eh?
Sure.
Federation.
There are many who
purport Federation this, Federation of that, Galactic Confederation, the Confederation of Planet, all these things.
Yeah, well, there's one, the one that Bashar belongs to.
Because there are lots.
At that time.
Yeah? There are lots of them, aren't there?
Yeah. I don't know how many there are, the one that his planet belongs to, his people, Esasani, is a small one. It's at the time of the channelings in the 80s, he said there was 280 members, planetary civilizations that were members. And then towards the end of the channeling, he said they had added 20 more. So there was, when I last was working with the channel in 1989-90, there were around 300 at that time. But that's one of the small federations.
But that may be, in a way, that's to me like the truther movement on the internet. There's a very small number of people, but it's growing.
Right.
And it's growing exponentially. So I would imagine that by now there would be hundreds more members.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because this is not a local phenomenon. This is the galactic wave. The expansion, ripple of consciousness, of light, of all frequencies of light that emanate as a pulse out of the center of each and every galaxy.
Right.
In the same way that thoughts flicker across our consciousness.
Yes. Apparently that is a common denominator to all galactic federations.
So this wave, we were talking about it on Friday. So I'd like to ask you, you know, what perspectives have your people given you on the event? Well, to me, there's been two events this year, and I think you agreed with me. There was one in April.
Right.
That was the one where I spontaneously turned into a vegetarian. And then there was one a few weeks ago where everybody went ape. Everybody.
Yes,
I don't know anybody who didn't go ape, you know.
Large hairy apes.
Actually, it wasn't me, and in my world, it was my environment. The house I live in just went completely bazooka.
Yes, I remember. I mean, you're gifted. Look what you created.
Yeah. How about that for a dark night of the soul? You know, well, you know, I kind of hung out through it. It was cool. We've had these two waves. Have your people said anything about them, about what they are, how we can ride them, how we can survive and thrive these energy shifts? Because, frankly, I don't know who's going to survive. Go ahead.
Well, we have to get beyond survival as a mode. You know, humans are surviving all the time, right? Yeah. And there's only one, my understanding of it, is there's only, the only way out is through. However, Bashar used to say to us over and over again, surrender, 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 trust, trust, trust. The more that we trust, the process, it's basically, it's huge waves from the galactic consciousness, who's a consciousness itself as well, of course, is sending that these huge waves of love and light, because it's evolving as well. So it sends out these huge waves of love and light. And it's, by golly, damn it, for sure, you're going to wake up, or you're going to be recycled, you know, is what's happening. And so surrender, 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 and it's nice to know approximately when those waves are going to be showing up. But when they do, what they're doing is they're blasting our heart chakras open and cleaning out the garbage in our thinking, you know, the human survival, conditional love, you know, all that human, you know, I call it, like David Letterman says, stupid human tricks, you know, and you know, these stupid human tricks, we have to let go of them, you know, let go, let God, and as we do, you actually feel like you're dying, because that personality that you have relied upon for so long is dying, is dissolving, is beginning to, or trying to dissolve, and then a lot of people are trying to hang on to it, and they're not going to survive, because that personality is going under. It's actually dissolving, releasing, and showing the living light made of love that is underneath it all. Does that help?
Yes, and you know, I'm looking at the recent events, and we looked at Comet Ison, which had all of these, you know, there was this big comet booming through the solar system, passes around the sun, and then just turns to dust.
Yes.
Just dissolves. And it's, so we,
yes,
got, you know, so there's a, maybe there's a parallel, though. Alex Collier, in 1994, said that December the 3rd, 2013, the third dimension will implode.
Yes.
And everybody's going, well, what's happened? Well, as far as I can see, everybody's in two worlds. You know, we're in two minds, really, literally. We're either in the war zone, or we're in the peace zone.
Yes, we're either the bug, or we're the windshield.
That's right. So we're definitely...
There's only one answer, is to surrender, surrender, surrender. Trust, trust, trust that the universe is love and light, and whatever is releasing, whether it's a relationship, in which in my case, a place where you've been living, a job, a career, you know, whatever it is, it's if it starts to fall apart, kiss it goodbye, and because what's underneath that personality is a living light made of love. It's more and more unconditional until we get fully unconditional, until there's no more subconscious mind.
I think that's a really good place to pin, until there is no more subconscious mind. So let's talk a little bit about the way the subconscious mind works, because I've been reading up about PTSD recently, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
And I've come to the conclusion that we're all suffering from PTSD, and that's part of the human condition.
Right.
And people talk about, oh, I do this because it's my conditioning. Yeah, you've been tortured, you've been you've been destroyed and rebuilt in somebody else's image. You're dancing to their drum. And you know, you go, yeah, well, it's your choice, you
right.
know.
But absolutely.
Yeah. So the question is, okay, people will then say, well, how do I get away? How do I escape the environment of this oppression? How do I get out of this? Is there a get out
you
of jail?
You can't escape it. You can't, if you keep in mind the only way out is through. okay? Because we've been dancing around these issues. That's why we have this big fat subconscious mind, is because we've been doing these little dances around it and not taking responsibility. And so, if you keep in mind that energy, in the healing work that I do, I'm going to forward it to you by email, the simple guidelines that I got from Michael and from the Federation of Planets. The simple way of healing is very simple. We have the I Am, which is like a bright star, you know, a living light made of love. And then every time we didn't deal with something, we then created a personality that we thought would deal with it, okay? And personalities really only have three sides. They have a core belief, which creates the other two sides of the triangle, habits, routines on one leg, and raw emotions, feelings on the other leg. Well, what I found years ago, that the only therapy that really worked was going through the corner of the triangle of the raw emotions, because that's the stuff that nobody wants to deal with, and that's the fastest way to uncover the hidden core belief that's creating this personality, this human, stupid human trick, you know? And so that is the key. And every time that you uncover that core personality, see, all negatives in the universe, I've learned, are real but not true. And reality is created 33 times a second. We create pain, disease, stupidity, whatever, 33 times a second. So when you uncover that core belief that's creating it, all the pain dissolves. The disease is gone. The personality is literally gone. What I do then is I have the person replace it with a positive program, which goes all into on a cellular level, which it needs to, because every cell is running programs from our strongest beliefs, and that's what creates all disease. So when you get to the, you clear the negative, it's very important to replace it with a positive. So that's the key, is to become whole, holistic. Well, you know, we've heard this expression forever, to love thyself is the big secret, right? Well, my revelation years ago was just to love thyself, these personalities that we've created as solutions to problems. And when you completely love that self, it dissolves and returns back to wholeness in the core self.
And
I hope that makes sense.
And that often involves a few tears.
Or buckets of...
a drop or two.
Or rats in the belfry.
yeah, smoke in the living room.
By the way, JP, did you sort out those three events as personalities yet? The rats, etc.?
That's a very interesting thing. Like, the rats who chew away at the... if this was a dream, what would it mean? This is what I always say to my people.
Exactly, you know? Right. Yeah.
If this was a dream. And I've often had, disaster dreams and stuff like that, so I get that a lot.
Yeah.
Rats. See, my fear of the rats, actually something that somebody said to me, she had experienced it, and basically the rats chew through the electric wiring and set the place on fire.
Right.
So that is a very real kind of danger of the thing. So
it's very real, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very real, and it's advancing. It was advancing. It wasn't something that would just stay as it was. It had to be dealt with. I had to be responding to it. I had to be responsible. Somebody had to be responsible, at least, you know. So I called for help, you know.
Listen, yes,
Mr. Well, Farmer.
See, if you were my client, and you were sitting in front of me, and you said, "I've got these disasters happening, the flood and the sewage and rats and so forth," you know, I would sit down and I'd say, "Okay, tell me what's the strongest emotion connected with that event." And the person would start to, I get them to feel that emotion, because it's in layers, like it, like concentric spheres, you know? Mm. And I just have them feel until we uncover the core negative rat personality. Okay? Mm-hmm. And whatever that fear was. And once you uncover that, you don't have to keep dreaming the dream of rats doing that anymore, because you've released and you're no longer resisting that fear personality, because it's always a personality that we have that starts it all.
So I could look at each of those things that happened all at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
As
very creative, you know what Bashar would say, very creative.
But the thing is, you know, after a while, you know, because as the day, it was one day, and as the day progressed, I was just going, you are just kidding me. you're taking the piss. You are, you know, I was talking to them, and I was saying, you know, this is a joke, right? I get this. I get what you're saying. I'll look at this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, it is... I mean, after a while, in the work that I've been doing for many, many years, it gets to be really corny and silly and funny when you start to, instead of running away from it, you just jump into it. It says, okay, I'm going to be the rat. I'm going to see what I'm chewing at. And when you do, it starts to get, you remember the early in this lifetime or a past lifetime where either you were a rat or a rat type of personality, you know? And chewing away at whatever, you know, and when you do, it just gets really funny because, you know, it's really all funny.
Yeah, actually, there's been I've had a recurrent theme of it was a few years ago. I made up a little story, and it was about a hamster that had escaped and it gnawed through the cables. And was sitting on the electric, you know, having chewed through the cables and electrocuted itself, was still kind of and toasting, and eventually became, carbon, and then burst into flames and set the curtains alight, which, you know, burnt the house down. So that was a little story that I wrote. You know, somebody told me that they'd let the hamster escape. So my mind went. So there is a theme of rodents bursting into flame electrically. So that might be an interesting. You know, what's all that?
Flaming rodents.
I used to read a book called The Stainless Steel Rat by Harry Harrison. Hey, check it out in there. Who ever read The Stainless Steel Rat by Harry Harrison? I bet you did, Tracy Kennedy. I bet you did. Right, where's my mug there? Oh, there's a chat room. Right. So we got a question in this chat room. Where is it? There. Right, okay. So this is from Remus. Can we stop savior complex and start respecting locals and coming down without mystery behind things and with plain honesty and transparency? I suppose he's talking about ETs. Yeah, well, take it.
My answer very simply is Bashar and their entire civilization do not see themselves as saviors. They're just teachers. They're willing for you to crash and burn or fly. You know, what I say is they're very willing for you to fly or die, you know? They're cool with it. They know that not everybody's going to wake up and grow up in this time. So, no, it's not a savior at all. If anybody's trying to save you, be highly suspect, whether it be a religious leader or Grandma Susie or whatever, you know?
So...
I hope that answers.
I hope it does. So let's see. What did you do? What did you do? Did you read, Tracy? I was saying the Stainless Steel Rat series of
sites. Did I read it?
I'm speaking.
I'm sorry.
It's to Tracy. She's a co-host and she's in the chat room there. And it was a series by Harry Harrison, The Stainless Steel Rat. He was a kind of sci-fi adventure detective kind of guy, and the idea of an electric powered rat and the stainless steel rat. He was that was the name of his his sort of alias, like the Scarlet Pimpernel or something. This is stainless steel. Meanwhile, blah blah blah. I see these metal rats now. I can see a stainless steel rat. Yeah, imagine one of those. Diamond spiders of Iapetus. Anyway, they're talking about how English language is. Yeah, here's the thing. Part of the way our DNA has been messed with, that we don't have telepathy anymore. What do your people say about the restoration of telepathic receptivities?
Very simply, that it's natural to be telepathic. It's normal not to be. And so they're just helping us uncover the... You know, look how many times people have been, crucified and tortured because they could see the secrets of the bad guys, you know. So a lot of us had said, hey, I'm not going to, even if I see stuff or hear stuff, I'm not going to let anybody know. So if you start to let yourself make it okay that you have this, it'll start to happen because it is, by the way, on Bashar's planet, when you no longer have a subconscious, he says the entire civilization, they don't speak anymore. It's a completely telepathic society. They don't even have names for each other because they recognize each other's frequency. Everybody has a signature frequency, you know? We all do. You do. I do. Everyone. And so to be psychic and telepathic is just a very natural state of being if you no longer have a subconscious mind.
That's interesting. So, when you look at these subconscious processes that are going on, and I'm just now consciously aware that we're coming up to the top of the hour, so we need some need to put some music on in a minute, but that's fine. When we're talking about the subconscious, it's the result, it seems, of was it created deliberately, or is it a result of an accident, or of a deliberate cause that has an accidental result, or is it inbuilt into the human structure?
Well, if you really get a grasp of Masters of Limitation, if you get a grasp of someone doing things which they didn't want to then own up to, you know, then we started creating this artificial construct of stuff that we were hiding from ourselves. We'd shove it into, it's kind of like you say, okay, I'm never going to look to the right again because that's where the ugly stuff is, right? So we only look in the front and to the left and behind. We no longer look at that area of that, or you know, you can look at it now as that section of your mind. You know, the average human is only using what, 5 or 10%? They say, you know, the experts quote unquote say, well, what's that other 85, 90, 95% doing? Subconscious. Right? So if you when you're waking up, you're actually just recovering that part of your memory bank that you have put to sleep, so to speak, you know, that you put a big wall up there and says, okay, that's where the boogeyman lives, that's where ugly stuff, that's everything I'm afraid of, is I'm going to shove in there. Everything I've done that I was mean or evil or stupid or whatever it is that we judge, we're going to shove it into the subconscious. It's really artificial because we are fully conscious beings. We're just pretending that there's stuff that we don't see.
Well, I think I found the right track. There it is. For our break.
Wonderful.
It's by Pink Floyd. It's called Mother. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. I didn't put the date. It's the 22nd of December 2013. That's funny. Maybe it doesn't matter anymore that we have dates. But it still helps to categorize things, put things in a place so that things don't all happen at the same time. It is terrible when things happen. Yeah, I don't like things happening all at the same time. That puts me under stress. So, are you back with us, Stephen? No, he's gone. So, actually, I might put on a little piece of music. What the fuck was that? I think that was a meteor going overhead. I just saw something flash by the window. And I live in the country, and nobody lives out here. Right, so, let's have a look here. Let's have some Cocteau Twins for a second. Oh!
I'm back.
You're back. Welcome back. So, that's really good. Thank you very much. So, my guest is Stephen Muro. Lovely. So, yes, a great wall. And that was from the wall, Mother, and the building of the wall. You see, the wall is it's a sort of psycho journey novel, stroke album, stroke film thing, art installation experience that Roger Waters came up with. An absolute genius of our times, I have to say. And really, it outpictured the whole, it was the play of his trauma, his personal trauma. Like Tommy was the imagined trauma of the molested boy that Pete Townsend came up with. Oh yeah, very much imagined. Obviously, you know, it was an outpicturing of his trauma. And we see this, you know, in many movies and things like that, and yet we still don't seem to connect. Why don't people want to heal?
Well, really, underneath it all, they're terrified of their own power. Because they thought, well, when I had power, I misused it. Or they see examples in the world of others misusing power, and it re-stimulates the fear, you know, the shame. I'm not good enough. I'm not. One of the big things that comes up at the bottom of sessions with clients, JP, is just I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve. I don't deserve. I don't deserve. And when that program is constantly running, you know, because underneath it, oh, you're God. You're God with infinite potential, and you can do. You know, you could build a planet, you could blow one up too. We have those powers within us. So you've got to get that person feeling safe enough for them to go deep enough into their subconscious. You know, I really say that my job is just making it safe enough for the person to go there. I'm not doing the work. I'm just creating a safe, unconditionally loving, environment for that person to venture into those dark places, you know. And once they come out of it, they say, well, what was that all about? That was stupid. You know, that was silly. Why would I do that? You know, well, if you don't know you're doing it, or you've hidden it so well that you don't know you're doing it, well, you know, you've got to get to the point of remembering that you forgot who you really are, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of times when we don't do what we think is sensible.
Yeah,
You know, there's, and then people get back to saying, "What were you thinking?" Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's it. To me, that you know, we've got one of my main jobs is to get the person to be centered in their I am, instead of the I'm gonna be, which is the ego and the head. You know, when the head guides the heart, you're sunk. Your ship is sunk. When the heart begins to guide and clean out the negative programming in the head, miracles start happening in their lives. They get well, they get happy, they get prosperous. All the good stuff. But it's just, you know, that's why love really is a secret. If you can, for a child or an adult, if you can just love their dark side, you know? Make it okay that they have a dark side, that they're doing whatever they're doing, and loving that part. Another way, I had a revelation. I think I know how Jesus did such cool healings all the time. This actually came to me from Jesus many years ago. And you know, most of us know the word namaste, right? And I had the thought, was namaste. Well, the God I am acknowledges the God that you are. Well, I got this idea. Well, if I keep focusing only on the light within them, only on the living light made of love, and just keep looking at that and looking at that and loving it and looking and looking, pretty soon the person starts to see it and feel it. And then, because that you has no disease of any kind, no problems of any kind, that's your Christ Buddha self, you know, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene self. You keep focusing on that and focusing on that, and pretty soon that crippled person says, Oh, I remember. And the disease is no longer being created, because they're now, you know, it's real simple. What you put most of your attention on is what's going to get bigger and stronger. You keep focusing on the light. Pretty soon, the dark just dissolves.
Interesting. It's the idea that, you know, 26 years later, I still have scars from a bike crash that I had.
Okay.
Yeah. And well, that's because my body is still remembering the trauma.
Yeah, well, it's your body. Okay? That program is still running. In other words, imagine that your consciousness, JP, expands out beyond just your head and goes into all those, your I am. And you let that bubble grow and grow until it goes to where all the scars are, where the pain is, whatever's going on. Because every cell is evolving as consciousness, right? And every cell has got a program running. Either it's got a positive program running or a negative program running. Okay? If it keeps saying, I'm hurt, this doesn't work anymore, whatever. Well, of course, it's the program. When you shift that to I am wellness itself, the body has no choice but to get well, because it's running your program. You're the boss.
That's an enormous state of clarity. But that's what it's all about. It's all about.
It's really that simple. It's too damn simple. People keep looking for complex answers. When it's either you're being the I am, or you're being something else. You're being the disease, that you're being the pain. And what you focus on is going to get bigger and stronger and bigger and stronger and bigger and grow year after year. Till finally the person's sick and dead, you know, with its collective personalities of I'm not good enough, I'm sick, I'm getting old just like grandma and grandpa and mom and dad. You know, you hear the program running. You hear people talking about it. You know, and all I do is invite the person to a different program. I keep focusing on the I am, the living light made of love, the Christ Buddha self. And you keep focusing on that long enough and loving that long enough and focusing on it, the person pretty soon starts to see it. And they start to wear it.
So yeah, it's about what you habituate to, isn't it? You know,
very simple.
A little like giving up salt in your diet. You know,
exactly.
If you can hold it off for a few days, you know, even a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, it will eventually become something you don't really care for anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Different program.
Yeah.
The body says that stuff will kill you. I don't want it. You know. Or that'll make you sick or whatever, you know? I got to stop walking through the ghetto and walking through a different neighborhood, so to speak, you know? And they wonder, why do I keep getting robbed? Well, maybe it's where you keep walking, you know?
Exactly. You know, yeah, I mean, something that came up before is this... this sense of, I hear so many people say, you know, I just want to be loved.
Well, it's, well, we all do, but, you know, you got to be one to get one. But you be is what you get. Real simple. You be loved, you're going to get attracted all over the place. Because, you know, like attracts like in the universe. You be loved, and man, you'll be flooded with people loving you.
Yep. And so it's really excited in the chat room, I have to say.
Wonderful.
Turtles asking, why do some say things like the Mother Mary, Savior, things of that nature? Is that for identification of being?
I don't quite understand the question.
Neither do I. I'm sorry. Turtle. See again, Sam. Is that a reference?
You're funny. So you gave it to me. You didn't understand it, and you gave it to me. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I thought, you know, there might be something that it might spark something. There might be a keyword in there. All right. Okay. Turtle, could you re-ask that question in a slightly different way? We'll be able to answer it. Why? To ask a why question, it's a very difficult thing, because it's like, you know, why does the sun come round? Why does the sun rise? No, the sun doesn't rise. So it's the planet's spinning round, you know, stuff like that. It's, you have to have a different perspective on a why question. So maybe you could then, you know, consider it from another perspective and re-ask. The reason why I was there, some say religion is a lie, yet they use terminology of the same. Oh, I see what you mean. That some people invoke various, what might be called Christian spirits, like Mother Mary or Magdalene or Jesus or Sananda or that. Yeah. You know, there's all these different names, even though they profess not to be not to be religious. Right. So. Well, yeah, there are. I mean, like you say, you know, you're talking about Archangel Michael, right?
Yeah.
Archangel Michael doesn't belong to Christians. It doesn't belong to the Bible. It's like the guy's mentioned in the Bible, but he doesn't belong to the Bible. He's not like in Bible land where everybody wears robes and has beards and is white and speak English and, you know, that sort of Bible land.
Right. He was around before planets were invented.
Exactly. So, and along with the Michael energy is the Mary energy.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, would you like to know something really cute about Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene?
Go ahead.
From Bashar. He says, by the way, he calls Jesus and Buddha world spirits. Imagine a great big hand, the size of the planet or bigger, whatever, and each finger is, and there could be more than five fingers. Each one is a projection from the world spirit. Buddha was, and Jesus was. And he says, by the way, there were three world spirits in Jesus' time. It wasn't just Jesus. He had a support team. He had Mother Mary, who was a world spirit, and Mary Magdalene, who were world spirits. So it was a triad there. I thought that was pretty cool, because I've had visitations from both, especially from Magdalene. She's one of my guides. So we had three world spirits in Jesus' time. Because it was such a patriarchal system in society, they couldn't let the women, you know, have that power. But they were world spirits just like Jesus.
What my teacher would call a planetary logos.
Yes.
And also what he would say is everything is triple natured. There's three, you know, that's the biggest secret, is that everything is three.
Yeah.
So
that's why Bashar says their scout ships are triangular, because they know that to be the strongest, shape in the universe.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you can point them at things.
from three different directions.
That's right. Punchline. Punchline, please. Punchline is... why are the aliens watching us? Yeah, I mean... Look,
because we're where the show is.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen on TV these things they call reality TV shows, where they put a bunch of people in a room and force them to relate to each other or not, or just pit them against each other. That's really kind of a metaphor for really what's going on, it seems.
Yeah, well, imagine that this experiment, this school... is like the toughest one in the galaxy. And so, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, it's like the hit TV show around the whole world, you know, that everybody wants to see, you know, what's going on there? What is that? You know, and everybody says, oh, you got to see that show. You won't believe what they're doing down there on Earth. You won't believe how weird and strange and creative and insane it is. And they go, really? Yeah, it's the ghetto of the ghetto. Let's check it out. You know? And so they're fascinated by it.
So Earth is like an enormous reality TV show, stroke farm, stroke prison kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
In a way, it's like, what's that other one they use? They have celebrity, get me out of here,
right?
Or get me out of here, I'm a celebrity. You know, because you know, they put people in the worst situation. Okay, figure your way out of that, punk.
yeah, and he says that we have and we are and we will be the guides, ETs and spaceships for other civilizations. Planets that are in their renaissance, when they're beginning to wake up.
Awesome.
Yes, we are.
Because
they actually have great respect for us. They don't think that we're the bottom of the bottom. Because you remember, they're constantly doing namaste. They constantly see the best in us, and they know that they're fascinated with how a god could create this amount of amnesia. It's like, how could that happen in this universe? They're fascinated by that.
I think it's like, you could say it's a bug or a feature. in computer terminology, you know, we would say, oh, right. It doesn't do that when you do this. Well, no, that's a feature. It's not supposed to, you know.
Exactly.
We used to joke about it, you know. But it's... The skin suit, the little being, doesn't take well to trauma. Doesn't like being fried or toasted or burned or cut or beaten or inserted or what, you know. It doesn't like that stuff. It's not stoic, it can be. You can affect the mind by affecting the body like that. And that's a kind of bug in the system that has been exploited by hackers that has created the human being as it is today because of the way it's wrapped this whole environment around us that is full of lies that make us weak. It's full of poisons that come in every form of our ingestion through the food, the water, the toothpaste, the cleaning products. You know, everything around us is hostile. This is a very hostile environment, and we get traumatized from it, and we build up these programs, as you say.
So we
find ourselves in this very difficult.
We're the ones who created all this stuff too, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit like a celebrity get me out of here with these souls who think they know it all.
Right.
who've gotten stuck in the program. And it's like maybe this is like the time when just before the time in the Truman Show, when he gets the boat and he hits the side of the facade,
right.
I think this is the point, you know, that when humanity is hitting the side of the facade, and it's, you know, bumping into real reality as opposed to the iconic overlay.
Exactly, exactly. Well said. That's a very good example.
Right, okay, so I've answered my question. All right, here's another question from Shadow 22. How do we get off this crazy world?
There's only one way, is to graduate. And graduation is very simple, is to wake up. And waking up is the process of choosing to remember the things we chose to forget. So when you wake up, you automatically move up. You don't even have to buy a ticket. You're there. You're in the fourth density. Because you can't exist in the third when you're awake.
Totally. So this is the...
It's all about frequencies, you know.
Go ahead.
It's all about frequencies.
Exactly. And this is what I've always been talking about. You know, I'm always talking about frequencies, and that we can literally heal using frequencies. You know, we can reconstitute our bodies by revibrating our own personal blueprint frequency.
Exactly.
That is, you know, it doesn't exist necessarily on, say, a C sharp or a B flat. That it's a, you know, it's one of many. It's like a spectrum. As much finer grained of different shades and subtlety.
Yes, JP. Just imagine for a moment, let's talk about disease, okay? Dis-ease, right? Something that you're not at ease with. So the dis-ease, look at just a cold or flu, and feel, you could just imagine, don't create it now, but just, you can just imagine when you're sick, it's like ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. A chunk, you know, that's that low frequency, and your body fluids all slow down, and you get all icky and sticky and gooey, you know, and mucus and everything. And then when you're feeling really good, it's you know, this beautiful, nice, high, happy frequency. So it's all about frequencies.
So we were talking, we had so many little, I'd love to replay that show again, because we were so with Tony on Friday, that there were so many nuggets coming out that you have to get, well, just download it. we'll come up with some new ones.
I thought it was a beautiful show. I thought we each were stellar. and I thought it was great. Las Vegas, Seattle, and Scotland. What a triad, huh?
Well, there you go. Oh, by the way, yeah, my guest tonight is actually broadcasting from Las Vegas, so we still have a foot in Nevada, even though we're broadcasting from Scotland.
Yes.
So, where are we? If anybody wants to ask people are asking questions, do put questions in big letters, in uppercase, because I'm unable to see them so easily if they're just connected with the things, or, you know, people can relay them to me on Skype. But going on, so talking with Stephen Morrow, let's talk a little bit about the Michael energy as it exists in, I mean, say we were on board the Starship Enterprise, right? Okay, so we're you know, just scooting from the galaxy, and we came across Michael, right? What would we encounter, and would we have a friendly response? What would be the sort of first interaction?
Well, that's a bit hard to describe, because it's in me and all around me. Okay, in my own experience, in me and all around me. So, it would, we would experience Michael, let's say, as the whole atmosphere and where we're going and, you know, and what we're doing. Michael, this is my understanding of the archangels, that everyone entered the physical universe with a leader, a guide, who we called an archangel. And we were all angels before we entered the physical. We're still angels, we're just angels with amnesia. And by the way, Bashar made it very clear. He says there's a lot of souls who are angels as well, who will never ever incarnate into the physical universe. He says they don't evolve as quickly as we do because we're going through all kinds of intense tests and so forth. He says, but there are those souls who say, physical universe, no, thank you. Forgetting who I am, no, thanks. You know, my experience is that Michael will assume any form, including a 12-foot tall guy with a shield and a sword or a laser beam in my case. And you know, he's filled my body, and when I look up at the sky, sometimes it's all Michael. You know, so we all entered with Michael or Gabriel or Raphael or whoever. There's many archangels. Ariel is one of my guides, and so it still acts as a guide, but it's not physical. It's not physical. It's a presence. It's like for example, when I became conscious of my Michael connection in 1991 and that experience at Topanga Canyon, he announced to me, I heard this booming voice in my head, my body, my heart said, "You are Michael." And I couldn't begin to tell you what direction it came from because it was all around me. It filled the house. It filled the whole valley, you know, but it was able to focus in a pinpoint into my heart and mind to give me that message. I hope that it's really hard because it's formless and it could be bigger than 16 galaxies, you know, or a tiny pinpoint.
So it's Q.
Yeah. super Q.
Super Q. Q cubed.
Yeah, QQ.
Well, Mon Capitaine, I love you. He's so infuriating, man. Being thing, God being. He's just right. Anyway.
Well, he showed up for me because of the job that I have to do, and it's part of the wake up call. The archangels are their wake up calls, you know. Mm. And they're there, they're all around you, and everyone's got one that works with them. And if you start to just surrender, let go, let God, and let your, you know, trust your dreams, because they come in the dream time, and they'll show up physically at different times, and, you know, they have a job to do, and they do it well. But they don't come until you ask them. You gotta ask them.
Like asking the Rat Man.
Right.
Oh, excellent. Total. Raphael. Yeah, so they're talking about eating frogs now. But, you know, it's like talking about animals and you know, vegetarians feed on life too. Yeah, what do you... would you have a comment on the human diet and what might be more conducive towards this process rather than and what will definitely hold you to the old world, will hold you back from this graduation?
Well, we're talking about frequencies, right? Feel the frequency of hamburger, you know. Feel the frequency of raw vegetables. Feel the frequency of macaroni. You know, it's all frequencies. You know, and as you're awakening and evolving, you of course are naturally going to higher frequency foods. And, you know, so pretty much that simple is you're gonna keep eating what the frequency you are. That's what's going to work for you, you know? And so I find I am mostly vegetarian. I still eat some fish, and sometimes I'll eat some turkey, and because it seems to be a, you know, it's a little higher frequency than meat and pork and so forth. But I find that for the most part, vegetables and certain grains, things like that, work best for me simply because my body likes those higher frequencies. And also, if you eat enough of the dense foods, it's going to block your psychic abilities too.
Yeah. So this is something that's been happening in the last few months. Is it's getting more and more intense because I'm finding I'm more and more transparent to people's energy. So they walk in like 10 feet away, I can feel their energy fields and their desires and their expectations all kind of crowding in on me.
It's like, absolutely. Yeah. It's all there, especially as you wake up, man. You walk into a room full of people. Like, I went to a metaphysical spiritual fair here yesterday and met some wonderful people, and I could feel the meat eaters. I could feel the people who are lighter frequencies, you know, and those are the people I gravitated to and talked to. And I did a bunch of healings on people as gifts at the event. And you know, it's all frequencies. Pure and simple. And, you know, like attracts like. It's really dumb and simple.
Yeah. So, interesting about...
You could actually pick up any piece of food or, you know, of any kind and just feel the vibe, you know? And it'll tell you right away, you know, do you want to operate at a dense meat eater's frequency? That's all right. There's nothing wrong with it. There's still cows around, you know? But, and cow's karma is to be food. You know, that's what they're being cows, you know? But, you know, it doesn't taste as good as it used to me because it's a different frequency, you know? And certain things taste better because they're a higher frequency to me, because I'm operating at a higher frequency nowadays than I was just 6-8 months ago when I changed my diet.
Interesting. You had the same experience. Yeah. You know, yeah. I actually live on a cow farm. I live on in the, you know, a cottage from the farm, and you know, it's like, so where's the cow shed? It's about, you know, 60 yards away, 50 yards away. So I've made friends with one particular. They are so timid, enormous, yes, powerful creatures, and I think they're bullocks. You know, they're young. They're just being right. bred for slaughter. You know, bless their hearts. Yeah. But there's the, you know, there's one that has got a bit of courage, a bit more courage than the others, and so he comes up to the thing, and he's got this lovely white curly hair on his forehead, and I like to stroke it, but he doesn't like to stroke it, but he likes to lick my hand. I think it's like he likes the salt on my hand, and so we've got this little relationship going. And I know he's off to slaughter.
He's obviously
but
more awake than the other cows.
Yeah. Yeah, bless his little heart. And, well, bless his big heart. It's bigger than mine. And, you know, it's just so nice to have a relationship which is like, you know, I'm no longer your predator. You know, I can be your friend, really, truly. And they're beginning to see it. But I think, you know, they're scared of meat eaters, of course. They can smell dead them on your body coming out of your pores.
You're scared of cannibals?
Yeah. It's good to be scared of predators, isn't it? It's very handy.
Right. Well, you know what? If I may suggest a little something with that particular one or all of them, to say, hey, you know, you're going to be serving, you know, probably be served up somewhere, but don't take it personally, you know, just next time choose to be something that's more awake, you know, more alive in your next incarnation, because it may be coming soon.
Sooner than you think. Choose a good next life. It won't be long.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you could actually telepath to him. Just say, hey, thanks for, you know, I understand you chose to be food. You know, because everybody chose it, you know, before they were born, whether they chose to be a banker or a, or a vegetarian or a, you know, a slave and, you know, to be abused or whatever. Everybody chose that experience before they were born. And, it's, you know, it's, you can have it, you can shift your attitude about it and say, okay, well, now that I know I chose it, I'll choose something else next time. That's maybe more fun. Longer lifetime.
And a few of these cold Scottish winters.
Exactly, yeah.
He does shut the doors when it gets really, really cold, I think. Because it must get pretty cold, warm, you know, it's pretty cold in there. But they've got the straw, but it's, yeah, it's in there. Well, anyway, that's the way they live, and that's the farmer, and he's a nice guy, and all that.
But, you know, the worst thing, but sure, get this, this is wild information. One of the many wild revelations of Bashar. He says, by the way, he says, we do not have crime on our planet at all. Because they're all awake, you know. And he says, however, if we did have crime, the highest crime would be sympathy. Not empathy, but sympathy. He says, because it buries you and buries the other person. So keep that in mind. Imagine that on this planet of love and light, that the highest crime would be sympathy.
Well, that's a very interesting thing, because sympathy is something that makes people interfere in other people's lives, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And want to fix things. And,
yes.
That's.
And you're saying poor you. You know. Yeah. You're a victim. And, you know, every time you say you're a victim, the person more and more starts to say, yeah, I guess you're right. And victims get victimized, pure and simple.
And what you ask for is what you get.
Yep. Yeah, what you order, you get.
Mm. So, soul traps. That's a...
Yes. Yeah, I call them amnesia traps.
Mm. Yes. So, are animals aware of their spiritual genealogy? Is it a human?
Oh, yeah.
So they remember being other creatures.
Oh yeah. Once they decide to remember, yeah.
All right, but it's only us. It's really us who's majorly forgotten.
Well, no, they've forgotten too. Would you, if you were awake, would you choose to be a cow who's going to be eaten? Oh. You know, I mean, you see what I mean? I think, you know, you say, well, that could be painful, you know, to get slaughtered and so forth. So there's evolution, you know. The first density is the mineral kingdom. The second density is plants and animals. The third density on our planet is humans, dolphins, and whales, where this our third dimension. And then the fourth, of course, is Bashar and, you know, fully awakened souls. So yeah, there is evolution by density. Yeah.
So I got a question from Shadow 22. So when you dream that someone comes down and try to grab you, why do they do that? Well, that's another why question. any words to say about being...
Because you keep calling yourself Shadow. Time to turn the lights on. most things are, you know, and for most parts, they're wake-up calls. You know, they're trying to wake you up, you know, from the shadow that you're in. And so, yeah, they're guides. You know, they're your guides. And don't forget, this is the lifetime of the opportunity, the great opportunity to awaken from the deep sleep and to graduate the Earth School of Suffering, you know, of being human. So you chose this, and everybody who's here chose to wake up, whether they wake up or not. They chose it as you know, that's why everybody that's alive on this planet pretty much chose to wake up. And they knew it, and they said, well, you come to Earth, and you come here, and you, you know, in this lifetime, because there's a lot of souls that are out there that are not, you know, walking around in the human experience here. They don't have a chance. There's a channel called John, who's Saint John, Book of Revelations John, that I used to channel in Los Angeles. In fact, Daryl and I did a couple of shows with John. He had his own radio show on Sunday nights in Los Angeles, and he was quite brilliant and quite wonderful. You could, I'm sure, find some of his shows on YouTube. Just John channeling by Jerry. I forget the last name. Anyway, he said you would be amazed. People, there, somebody was calling into the show and saying they were complaining about Earth and being alive and here and how horrible Earth was. He says you would be amazed at how many souls are waiting in line, wish they could be born in this time, because they have a chance to graduate here.
So, graduation. Has the final exam happened, or are we still waiting the
well, it's not a
opening.
It's you. It's you and you and you and you and you. It's individual by individual. In other words, you could graduate, and your best friend would not graduate because they're not choosing to wake up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's individual by individual, as an example, every person that you're connected with, every person in life, is like a class you're taking, and they're all mirrors. The person you hate the most is a powerful mirror that you need to face and love, because they're a mirror back right back to you and what you're most fearing or judging in yourself. So, you know, your job, your relationships, your body, everything is a mirror, you know. And people around us are all mirrors, and they're there as mirrors to help us wake up.
A mirror. Yep. That's what she keeps calling herself. Yeah. Bless her heart. Bless her heart, indeed. Yeah, she nearly got my girlfriend. She really nearly got caught in a snowstorm tonight. She got a lucky escape. A person stopped on the road, turned round, and took her into town because she was waiting at the bus stop. That she just missed the bus. They must have seen the bus and then saw her. So things happen, and I kind of prayed for her because I saw this almost horizontal sleet.
Ooh. Yeah, you mentioned that at the beginning, before the show.
Yeah,
so horizontal sleet.
Yeah,
Tracy. They had sleet a few days ago in Los Angeles. Can you believe it?
In L.A. Wow.
L.A. Yeah, they had sleet
in Guelph, Ontario. Tracy Kennedy up there is watching. She's in a high rise apartment, and so she can see stuff. And there's ice storms there, and trees are just breaking in half.
Yeah. Yeah, that heavy sleet, frozen water will do that.
Yeah, seen a couple of pictures. So Shadow is also asking. So all will wake up? Will everybody wake up, or what's? Yeah, no. I mean, like you said, Atlantis. Shadow, we didn't get that many, and
Shadow,
so what's the deal?
It's everybody's an individual, and we're all individual souls. We're all part of the collective, but we are each evolving as individuals. And some, you know, just look around, ask, you know, take a look at your people that you hang out with, or that you're around, that are around your family, friends, and the slick, are they waking up? Do they look like they're choosing to wake up? You know, are you choosing to wake up? You know, are you choosing to face your demons?
I think this is part of the radio show. that's why I'm, you know, all part of what I've been talking about over the last few years is, you know, this is my experiences, you know, going through the process. And
yes,
seeing
yes.
everybody else going through it and thinking, ah, there are parallels here I can draw. At least it makes me not feel so alone.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, to me, we're basically all on spaceship Earth, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we're all classmates and shipmates, and that's why it's good to love everybody, because we all chose to be on this ship at the same time, so we're all buddies. Some more annoying than others, but we're all buddies.
Yeah. Well, and there's passengers and staff, aren't there?
Yeah,
it's a ship. And there's you right. know, there's crew, and there's you know,
person. And some are flying first class.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones that are awake.
Yeah, that'd be nice, eh? That'd be nice to open up first class and get to the bar. No, sorry, that was the vodka in me. That's just like the last couple of drops of vodka. You know, I don't drink a lot at all, you know. I can have a bottle of vodka in my freezer for months and months and months and I don't touch it. But last night I was playing in a gig, and it is Christmas, and I was buying drinks for my girlfriend who, like, wanted to sink pints of Guinness, so there you go. And so as I was buying her more and more drinks, I was, you know, oh, I'll have a vodka and orange. And so I eventually ended up with four. But, you know, I love it. The no headache.
Well, it's good. You know, to me, I can not. I don't. I've had almost no drugs, alcohol, cigarettes in this life. It's just been my path, you know, because of the work that I do, and I just, you know, I feel blessed in that way. But I had a beer the other day, a beer and a half, and I. It tasted okay, but man, did it mess up with my digestion. just it doesn't, my body does not like it along with food. But I, like I said, I could probably count the beers on you know, that I've had in this life. It just hasn't been my process. Probably if I was in Scotland, it'd be a different process, because you got the good stuff there to drink.
No, I mean, I totally get you. You know, there's a thing. I got this thing about, like, beer and nationalism and sausages and things like that. There's a connection between those things.
Absolutely.
It's subtle Nazism and you know, like a personal, it's part of your personal pride that is one of the programs that we're trying to write out of the system. Because exactly. Some of the code that needs a little bit of tweaking.
Well, you know, if you're going to do it, of course, make sure you don't judge it, because you're going to suffer. Drink and enjoy it.
Tell them about the duct tape. Oh yeah, well, okay. No, I was goofing around with my girlfriend last night. We were taking photos, you know. Actually, she made me this beautiful, I'm going to post it on Facebook in a while. It's made of felt. She's incredibly good with her hands. She's real crafty, and she's made this fairy from handmade felt. She made the felt herself, coloured with all that stuff. And it's got these two white feathers sewn to the back of it. And so it's a Christmas fairy.
And oh, beautiful.
It's absolutely stunning. And it's like, wonderful. Wow, you are so amazing with your hands. I mean, she just makes these things. She's so soft. Everything she makes is made of felt and stuff. So
lovely.
Yeah. And so anyway, that was a delightful little present that made me feel terrible. It's so beautiful. I'm such an arse, you know. Anyway, so yes, so duct tape, yeah. So we were goofing around, and we were first of all taking photos of this little thing, and then for some reason I felt, you know, and this was, you know, because I had vodka. I wouldn't have done this in any other circumstance, but I thought, I take a photo of me, right, and I'll put some duct tape across my face, like you know, Project Censored or something like that, and I can play with the photo. And anyway, so I stuck this duct tape on my face, and I've got a beard, I've got lots of hair and moustache, and but worse than that, I took the top layer of the outer edge of my lip off. It's just like, rah! Oh, ah, it was like, and this cold air breeze came in, you know. I've just removed my epidermis from a very sensitive position. So that was me for the evening. Oh,
boy.
Oh, man, it took a while. But she had this special lip varnish thing that helped to replenish that. She's got these little herbal things. Here, let me fix you.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So... So on that note, how can people get hold of you? Do you do private sessions?
Yes, I do. I do miracles on a regular basis. In fact, I'd like to give you a gift sometime. We can do it through Skype as long as I can see, have the video along with the
yep,
audio.
Yep.
Let me give you a gift as a Christmas present.
Oh, thank you.
Of a session of my as a medical intuitive, and I really do miracles on a regular basis.
Thank you. You got a great, yes, you got a job ahead of you, I tell you.
Well, I'd be most honored to. But my name is Stephen. My email address is Stephen Muro, lowercase STEV like Victor EN, and then Muro, M like mother, URO, all as if it's one word. Stephen, no space. Stephen Muro at gmail.com. And I'm still putting together a new website. So what I do is I forward information, which I'll do that for you, of what I send clients before their first session. And so I can do them long distance. I have clients in London and Australia and Mexico, here, there, and everywhere, the United States and Canada. So, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, financial, to me, it's all about these personalities. In other words, a person doesn't have money problems. They have a personality that has money problems. They don't have cancer. They actually have a personality that has cancer. So if you clear the personality out and then replace it with a positive, the person gets well. It doesn't make any difference what it is. And the information that I send to people, I'll have it on the website pretty soon. But I can just forward that to anybody. So, yeah, I do, and along with that is the life and business and soul coaching that I do. And I'm connected to many databases in the universe, and what happens is your guides connect with my guides and creates this loop, and I'm able to know what you're ignoring or what you need to work on.
Excellent.
And how to clear it in a short period of time.
Excellent. Website?
Yeah, it's just being made. I don't have it. I'll send it out.
Okay.
As soon as I get it done.
Okay.
I had one before, and then I shut it down because I wasn't happy with it. So it's in the process of being built again.
Okay. Look, we'll get you back when you've got a web presence, and we'll
yes,
do some more. We'll help you publicize it. Stephen Muro, thank you very much. This has been Ever Beyond. You are welcome. Thank you. Stay tuned for Frank Jordan and the Earth Mind Think Tank.
And blessings and namaste to you all.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Beyond.